are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to It's Casual Casey. We got a full house today. Let's get everyone up and going, right? First off and foremost, let's shout out to our sponsor, Beloyan and Manukian LLP. Personal injury litigation firm, over a decade of experience with real results. Maximize your compensation with us, and you know where to call them at, 747-444-4444. So let's bring on everybody in. Let's see. It's my first time.
Oh, yeah. Work them boards, man. Jeremy.
Let's get that. Okay, we got Sam on there. All right. Boom. Welcome, everyone.
One, check in, two, check house. In. Everybody on the
Mike,
check in.
Mike, Sean, Bandito, Glenn. All smiles up in here, right?
Hold on, lunch.
Welcome.
What's going on? How's everyone feeling?
Fucking brilliant.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
All right, man. For those Casey Reds, it's all right. You got the show jitters. It's all good. Nah. I just want to start the intro with a. Hey, come on, man. Come on. Yeah. They not like us, man.
They not like us. That's they exactly not like right. us.
Ooh. They are not like us, brother. You brother, I am bouncing. I am buzzing. Let me introduce you guys the right way in before I go crazy, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm still going crazy now that I'm seeing all of y'all. It just came back to me. Saturday just came right back into me. You know what I'm saying? I had to kick some city guys out of our pub. But, yeah, let's start it off with we got my man, Sean Grigg from Pittsburgh United Supporters Group. What's going on, Sean?
Not much, man. Just enjoying that. My liver has finally recovered after my two-day bender. yeah, everything's going great. And what a win, boys. What a win.
That's what's up. That's what's up, son. Also, we got my boy Bandito Mike, top red, LA red in the building. What's going on, Mike? How you feeling?
What's up, man? I'm still gassed. Just been reliving all the moments, and what a win.
And last but not least, we got my boy Glenn Walton, professional goalkeeper coach, ex-professional goalkeeper in the building. Lifelong Manchester United fan. What's going on, Glenn? How you feeling today, brother?
Exactly the same as Sean just said, mate. I was fucking dead after a two-day bender, and I carried on. It was like going to Ibiza for a week, mate. It was just mental, absolutely mental. I woke up Sunday so fucking happy. I just had to drink again. It was great. And then I woke up this morning, it was Memorial Day. I could not be bothered grilling. I was so fucked. But come on, the Reds.
Up the Reds, up the Reds. Okay, so in studio, you know, we missing one today. We don't have Casey, who did not recover.
Did not recover.
His vendor. I don't know what he was on.
Still
it
in recovery.
Like it's a little bit more than alcohol. Mm. But hey, I'm not here to judge nobody, okay? But in studio, we got my boy, Germ. What's going on, Germ?
Going on,
talk, speak to me, man. Talk to me.
Oh, man, we are buzzing. We're still happy off of that weekend win. Everyone that I just was running into, I was just letting them know. Who owns, right? Manchester United. So happy to be out there at the pub with Case and out there with my boy Mark right there. We were just having just a blast.
That energy.
Yep. Big Cheese. Welcome, Big Cheese.
Oh, you already know. Cheese. Big Cheese packing downstairs. Unfuckable with online right now. I love it. Nobody can chat to it online. Oh my God. And Arsenal fans clutching at straws with your second place trophy. Let's finish.
And shout out to the owner over there at O'Brien's. No City fans allowed. It was one City fan. I believe he's trying to just creep in there at the pub.
He wasn't having
Was not having it. Not having it.
They told him too. It's like, don't do it. Don't come around here in them City jerseys.
Okay, so let's get on that, because you brought up something interesting that I want to it's been a little bit of discussion that I want to tap into real quick. Who's had the better season, Manchester United or Arsenal? Who do you feel after that? Let's kick it off with Sean. Let's say who's had the better season? Because to me,
that's difficult.
Well, it's about winning trophies, okay? You remember the trophies you won. Glenn will be able to tell Kai and all the rest of his kids, hey, I remember when we all watched the 2024-2025 FA Cup, and you were 4, you were 6, and we did blah, blah, blah. You're not going to remember second in 2024. So I feel like we had the better season overall. What do you think, Sean?
I agree. I agree with it 100% before Sean even talks. Memories of a kid, FA Cup day was the biggest day in our kids' lives. And my kids to see United, like my kids are only 8, to see them to win the first FA Cup. They play FA Cup on FIFA, mate. They think it's the biggest cup in the world. Like, for them to see it, before Sean answers, I think we've had the best season.
Yeah, I was lucky my 11-year-old was in the bar with me on Saturday.
Great father.
I'm teaching that kid all right. it's like, I agree with Glenn that we had the better season. Like, it's all about trophies. But at the end of the day, like, are we looking at, like, what's going on? Are we even going to get freaking Europa League at this stage with those reports coming out that you can't have both in the same competition? So
We'll get to that.
But I would say Man United. It's the oldest, most prestigious trophy in the world. And I would say we had a better season overall.
Bandito, what do you think? Better season, Man United or Arsenal?
Yeah, Sean just said it. It's the oldest cup competition in the world, and it deserves reverence. You know, it didn't feel too good throughout the season for us, but we've had a better season than Arsenal. We've had a better season than the Scousers. We've had a better season than Chelsea. We've had a better season than Newcastle. So winning the FA Cup turns it all around, and fuck all them.
Okay, hold on. Let me get some of the chats in real quick. We got some funny chats going. So Ronaldo says, up the fucking Reds. Big up yourself, Ronaldo. Reese, he's our barkeeper. And he's at our fucking, at our pub. He's barely that. Says, still useless. Lads, get over your lucky win. He's Irish. Arsenal by a mile. Hope 10 Shag and Trashford stay on for another 10 years. And Ronaldo says, Arsenal are just a better Spurs in red. Big, that's huge. Drop a bomb for that one. That is huge. All right, in studio.
All right, so let me go first before you.
Go ahead, yeah.
Let me just shout out to what Casey said. Yo, it feels nice to be happy about football. Currently, Manchester United supporters are the happiest supporters in the world, and I have to say that's true because, yes, we did have the better season. You do not get a trophy for winning second best in the league, right? You get a trophy for coming in first, winning the FA Cup, and that's what we did against Manchester City, the supposedly big boys. Who was the big boys on Saturday? We were. Manchester is and always will be red, so we had the better season.
Not only that, in the previous round, we knocked fucking Liverpool out.
Exactly. Come on.
Talk about it.
That's right. Not much more.
If someone said to me at the start of the season that Liverpool, as good as they are, as good as they were, would have the Carabao Cup, would have the FA Cup, and no one wins football else, I'd fucking take it.
Yeah.
I will say, when I was in New York and I did the United View, the time I said De Gea who, I also said we'd win the FA Cup. But, you know, hey, listen.
I'm not saying I'm an oracle or anything.
I also said Ted Hag out like 2 weeks ago, so I'm full of shit.
You're Ted Hag in all season, though.
Let's go,
you,
Mark.
You left it late for Ten Hag out. Let's keep it.
I hung on, but I'm back on the boat. Matter of fact, let's get into that a little bit. I want to do a little bit of the tactical breakdown of the game, too, because I saw some things that I liked that Ten Hag did and implemented with. Reese again says, haha, be fair, you won FA Cup. Technically, you had a better season for winning a trophy. Ooh. We knocked you into the Wi-Fi password cup, mate. We don't. You're going to be playing Bo Glimt in them, man. So enjoy that. Enjoy Poland. It's nice around that time of year. Anywho, so Ten Hag did some things that I like that in the last three games, I'd say, towards the end of the season to get victories, to get results that I think we needed. And I know we want to get into the whole Ten Hag in, out, whatever, whatever. But I want, Glenn, I want you to start it off and just let me know, what did you see in the game that you like from these players, or what did you think that we need to change going forward?
I'm going to be exactly the same as what you just said. And I, after the Crystal Palace game, I was, and you know me, I'm a diehard Red, and I've been through tons of managers and I've seen it. And I was, after the Palace game, I was 100% Ten Hag out. I was. I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure a lot of United fans have had that opinion about how we played, how we set up. But towards the last three, four games, I started seeing a little bit of a turn. I don't know if it was a return of players. I don't know if it's a return of him understanding the league a bit more, understanding the game, understanding this is not the fucking Dutch league. He turned my head. And after the final, when I saw, just to see his reactions and how he reacted with the players, I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's a bit harsh. Maybe it was a little bit harsh. He loves the club. I can see he loves the players. And the players actually do interact with him. Listen, I've played under many managers as a player. And if you don't like the man, you don't dance with him. You don't pick him up. Like Martinez, when he picked him up at the final whistle. And McTominay jumping on his back and all that. I'm like, they haven't given up. Maybe they just went through like a rough patch. What I saw in the final, I saw a team that was set up with a tactical game plan to fucking shut down the likes of Kovacic. Listen, you've got Foden, you've got De Bruyne, you've got Rodri. Probably the best three centre midfielders you've seen since Barcelona's trio. Those three were mint. And Kobbie Mainoo just ripped them all apart. And he used Amrabat to bully him. And McTominay to bully him. And you don't have to be a fucking brilliant footballer to be in a successful team. And I think he got it right on the day. I was watching it and I'm like, we're not losing this. And it's been a long time since I've seen that, watching United. Because every time I watch United, I went, oh, we're going to get fucking beat.
Battered.
We're going to get beat here. And after we scored the first goal, I went, City's not beating us. Kobbie Mainoo marking Haaland on corners, and the commentator Craig Burley was like, "What's Ten Hag doing? He's an idiot." Kobbie Mainoo's a beast. He didn't mind marking Haaland at all. He got nowhere near him. He got absolutely nowhere near him. And going from the Palace game to me, I'm like, you know what, Ten Hag maybe does have something about him. Maybe we should give managers a little bit more patience than we do, because we are spoiled. We have been spoiled. It's been a shit season. There's been a lot of shit games, a lot of shit performances, a lot of shit decisions. But towards the end of the season, last three or four games, I'm like, maybe it's clicking. Maybe it's clicking. Finally. So personally, and I might sound like a fucking contradict, I have said a million times, get rid of him, he's shite. I'll give him the summer now. Let's see what Ineos does. Let's see what kind of plays he can bring in and what kind of shite he can get out. But he genuinely looked happy to win the FA Cup and delighted to win the FA Cup and had a game plan, and I'll give him a lot of credit for that.
I agree with all those things. I want to say quickly before I go on to Bandito real fast is that the way he put McTominay on Rodri, he said, that was kind of like how when Ander Herrera had to guard Hazard, when we played Chelsea, I think it was at home one year, and he just kept following around the pitch the entire time. He was wherever he went. He went to the bathroom, he went with him. He went to his girl's house, he went with him. He was with him the entire time, and he marked him out the game. I just thought, with a player like McTominay, with all his limitations, with all the things he doesn't do well, he played well, and he took one of the best players out. I enjoyed how they didn't let anything come through the middle. Everything had to come down the sides. And what Juan Bisaco was doing to Doku was criminal. That was criminal. That was O.J. Simpson level abuse. I'm telling you. I loved that. I loved how they came and showed up for each other. The thing, like how you said, when they came and they were hugging him, when they all gave him the trophy at the end, right. They all were like, and Onana didn't even do his trophy. He just like, here you go, boss. This is for you. We know what's going on in the news. This time it's for you. That's why I felt like, you know what? Give him some more time. He earned the time. He has one off season, one bad season. Give him the time. Bandito, what you think, man? I don't want to go on too long.
Yeah, I like how he set up the side. Now, that wasn't the brilliant part because City have come across a low block and a compact block many, many times, and they have ways to figure that out. But what he did is he brought, you know, Garnacho and Rashford in to crowd the space. And then Manu and Amrabat were, you know, marking De Bruyne and Foden. But they weren't in their pocket like Ander Herrera was, right? They were still...
It wasn't like a Jisung Park performance. Like you right. said, it wasn't like I'm down your throat every minute.
So what it was is you still have to... You can't leave the space behind you, right? So what happens, De Bruyne comes out and then Haaland gets in the space behind him. And Leicha's got to follow him out, and it's a chain reaction. So what they were doing is what we call like your shadow mark, right? If the ball is the light, you get in front of that ball, and then your shadow is what you're marking behind you, right? So they're Manu and very clever on what time to press, you know, when to pass him off. But when Foden and De Bruyne got the ball, they were not able to turn and face the goal. They're always, I looked at their passing chart. It's backwards, it's sideways. It's, you know, send the ball right back to where it came from. It's possession with no bite, no teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Guardiola, he holds the width on the left. So if you win the ball, he's got to track back. You know, you got Garnacho, he's in a better position to get forward. And we know it's Silva holds, the width on the right. So that means Rashford is 1v1 with Walker. So, you know, a couple of those direct runs from Rashford, you know, that had Walker, you know, trying to get a few yards head start, opening up the space. And the really brilliant thing is United, when they won the ball, they didn't go direct. They didn't just chuck it long into the half space, right? So you're asking a lot. It's risky. You're asking Amrabat. You're asking Manu. You're asking your center backs. Hold the ball. Take little touches. Draw them onto you, right? If you look at the goals, there's a massive space between City's backline and then the recovering midfield, right? So City, they want to win the ball. Their first instinct is win the ball back very quickly. So if you take these cute little dribbles, they think, okay, we're going to nick this ball back. And what it does is that creates that big space in the midfield. And that's how we scored. That's how we exploited
it. I think also that's where City struggled, because most of the games that they've struggled with this season, like your Burnleys or your Aston Villas, they've stuck two people up front. United had no one up front, so the centre-backs really didn't know what to deal with. And then you look at Walker and Vardiola. Vardiola is a centre-back, isn't he, really? He's a converted left-back. And I was watching that game, I was watching them full-backs trying to go forward, and United don't, they're whatever the false nine is, they don't have a target. So the centre-backs didn't know. Like, John Stones was so fucking lost on the first goal and the second goal. If you're a centre-back, I mean, I was a goalkeeper. If you're a centre-back and you don't have a centre-forward to mark, you don't know what the fuck to do half the time. And they were going into, like you just said, into the middle. Kai Walker was pinching in. That fucking pass from Rashford, by the way.
Brilliant.
Fucking Beckham-esque, by the way. But that was them stepping because there was no Bruno. And then when Haaland came on later in the game, they're like, oh, shit, what do we do now? Like, it was For me, I'm going to give Ten Hag all the credit for his game plan and everything, because it knocked City way off the game.
Did anyone? Did anyone know? I don't like Bandino. I know you look at the stats a lot. Did you see how many passes, completed passes, Kevin De Bruyne had in the second half before he was taken off?
One completed pass
in the entire second half. And that guy is on par with Bruno when it comes to creating chances and opening that game. And if you shut that guy down with one completed pass in the second half, you don't win.
To be fair, De Bruyne in big games, it has been a little suspect for the last few years now. He's starting to gain that reputation of being kind of nowhere in clutch deciding games.
He's not a big game player.
Studio,
That's a good assessment.
Well, he has to come off in the Champions League last year, remember?
Yep.
Yep. It's either injury or he gets hooked. Mm-hmm. It's either one or the two, and it's starting to be a thing now, you know. Mm-hmm. So in studio, what did you see in the game that you like? And just give me some thoughts briefly and we can go on to the next.
I'll take this one first. Player performances, right? Amrabat, McTominay. The players that we shit on for most of the season had like really professional games. The shit we've been asking for all season, like Casey, all every week, just be professional. Is it asking these guys too much to be professional? Like we got that. We got like everything we've been asking for. We got on Sunday. We got discipline. We got composure. We were winning 50-50 balls. It's like the fight was there, man. It was great to see. Like, we look like teachers. It's just like, look, you guys, four-time champions, all the money, premier players, all this good stuff. But you still have so much to learn about winning championships and what it takes. And, like, we saw that from United, man. I'm telling you, it's great.
I enjoyed it. I think every player in the starting lineup had a solid performance. There's no one really you can say that had a bad performance, right? And I think it just shows you once you get a proper partnership in the back, right, with Licha and Varane in the back,
which we
just
asked
gives
for.
Confidence to your midfield up front to just boss up in the midfield. The fact that they were just getting physical over there with Haaland, just everyone all around. It's just, even though, yes, City had most of the possession, just never really seemed threatening. That was at the pub was just like cheering on the team, just how forward they were getting once they had the ball, but just also once they were going forward, it wasn't just stupid passes, right? Just to pass up front.
Yeah.
It was attacking with the correct mindset. And like I think Glenn mentioned it, got to give that big credit to Rashford on that pass to get that goal to Kobbie Mainoo.
It makes me, as Mikey said earlier, I'm a goalkeeper coach. That's my full-time job. And I was highly critical of Onana at the start of the season, as everyone was. And he even admitted that interview with Gary Neville was amazing. And the passion that he shows, but when you don't have a solid centre-half pairing, it's so hard for a keeper. So hard. He looked so much better with a decent pair or two. That he did make an error on Doku's goal.
Yeah.
But that save, was it from Rodri? The save he made was left from Rodri.
Yep. Walker
massive. And it's been a torrid season for everyone, and the pins have been up in the air. And me and Mikey and Casey have had conversations about Onana, but I'm starting to trust him, and I'm starting to trust other things now. So I hope he goes on and does well. But it's got to be. Was it 32 different centre-back pairings all year?
Yeah, some craziness like that.
No one could deal with that. A manager can't deal with that, and certainly as a goalkeeper, I can't deal with that, especially when they all speak seven different languages.
So with that being said, we did a couple weeks back, we did a sell and buy and keep bench, all that. Has you guys' perspective changed on these players now with these last few weeks of results? Because for me, Amrabat, when played in his position, okay, and asked to be a destroyer like Casemiro used to be, break up play, find the pass, I don't think he played the ball forward one time. He just dealt with it. Okay. He dealt with whoever was on and in that space. He dealt with the space. So when played in his position, it works. When you ask him to be a left back, it doesn't work. Okay. So I'm okay with them doing a bit of business for him to maybe stay on another year. So I was want to hear from y'all to see, has your perspective changed on any of these players? Go ahead. Let's start with Dan.
When he came in at left back, I mean, I know we were struggling, right? And he came at left back. I mean, a mate called me from Manchester. He goes, he reminds me of Yap Stam. He's a fucking destroyer. He shouldn't be left back, though. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He's just filling in. He never really got a chance after that. And then these last four games, I fucking love him. And let's listen, as any footballer in life, and you go to a World Cup and you're not playing for a top nation, you're playing for Morocco, and you're probably the third best player in that fucking tournament, you're half decent. You're half decent. And he's, honestly, that last four games changed my mind. I'll keep it. If he's, what is he, 25, 20 million? Keep it. If someone's going to tell me they're going to pay 60 million for Sean Longstaff next season, take it.
Bandito, what do you think, man?
Yeah, he's the one that came to mind. We're playing him along Kobe Mainoo. Another one I'm going to say is Harry Maguire. Shout out, bro. I was like, maybe Harry Maguire goes, but as a, you know, your maybe your third choice or your fourth choice center back that you're going to need throughout a long season, he's kind of changed my mind.
Okay, Sean, you anybody in mind that you would keep?
No, Amrabat, yes. But I would still, that's it. The rest, I still feel like most of them need to go. Wan-Bissaka, as good as a game as he had, needs to go. We need a new left back now. I still think.
Sean, what about Sabitzer? Would you keep Sabitzer?
I would have probably kept Sabitzer last year. If you look what he has done, he did really well in the Champions League. But again, we had no money. I think that was the main reason we couldn't keep him in the first place. I would have kept Sabitzer. Amrabat, yes. I would definitely keep Amrabat, but I think we still need to add to that midfield. Like with Casemiro, it looks like he's going. He didn't go to the party. And there's talks now of the big rift, you know, coming out. I think we need a solid young midfielder to go in there next to Kobbie Mainoo. But I think Amrabat will be a solid backup.
Okay, in studio, what are we thinking? Are we still Rashford gone, driving to Paris? What?
Yeah, I'm still driving him to Paris. I'm not going to be recency biased and just say we're going to keep him just because of this game, right? Throughout the season, he's kind of shown what he has kind of been. So for me, he's still bye-bye for him. But as to Amrabat, he's the one I'm still on the fringe. I wouldn't be mad at keeping him, but I can see why we would, right? That game, he really showed where if you put him in the correct position with the correct type of system, he can be a baller.
I'd give Rashford a new contract, me.
A new contract to PSG?
Oh my god!
Yeah. Just on lower wages, though.
Fair. You think he'd take it?
He fucking loves United. He'll bounce back.
What about you? What about you, kid? What about you?
Like for Rashford, in Rashford's case, I wasn't sure if his tears mean he is leaving or what. But like,
no.
A lot of us at the pub.
He's had a ton of mental issues this year. It's not footballing issues.
Word.
Those tears right. were genuine. He was so happy to win the FA Cup after the year he had. He's not going anywhere.
What do you think, Michael, when you saw that? When you saw the tears, does it look like a guy that's leaving or a guy that was crying because of the season he's had?
I think it's a wobbler, man. It could go either way. It could mean either one. I think he stays. He's Manchester, right? He is the face of this football club, like it or not, you know what I'm saying? When you think Man United, you think red, you gotta think Rashford. And as much as I think that his game hasn't transcended, I just feel like when you're set up right and he has the chances to be great, he can do good things. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough because he's 26. He's not.
Well, can you argue now? You pass on that torch to Kobe Manu. Now that Rashford's out, now you pass that face.
Well,
of the
Manu.
Franchise,
well, Manu. The Manu. You know they don't play the same position, yeah. And I feel like where Manu is now, it was miles ahead of where Rashford was at his age. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, I mean, look at things like Paul Scholes is saying things like, he's 10 times the player I was at that age. You know what I'm saying? That is big accolades from everybody's favorite midfielder. That's your favorite midfielder saying that about a 19-year-old.
That's so, even the other night, Alan Shearer saying, fuck me, Kobe Manu's marking Haaland on corners. He's got some faith in that kid.
Did you see him pick him up in front of the ground?
He won about fucking 8 headers against Haaland. And he's about 6 inches. That's just fucking, this boy is going to be unreal.
I want to dispel something real quick. And it's for a lot of people watch this show after and during, but after for sure. I want to dispel something real fast. All these City fans are saying, oh, you guys played, we were half drunk, we were on the piss, we weren't worried about this and that. You weren't saying that last year when you were on the treble.
Word, and the quadruple.
You just don't have a game next week. That's the only difference. You don't have a game next week, and Madrid saw to that. So don't give me none of that, oh, we were off it, because in the last 15 minutes, you were digging for that second goal, and you almost looked like you were going to get it, but it didn't. It didn't happen. So I just want to go ahead and get that out the way, because everybody from all over the world have been writing me like, it's lucky and we were on the pitch. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Haters
whatever.
Don't hate.
Whatever.
Fraudiola got out coached.
That's all it is. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I came into the game for the last week. I was kind of dreading the game a little bit. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? Statistically, we have a puncher's chance always. But we have to get one over on them. They don't have our ticket this time. And we just made it happen this time. So go ahead.
I personally felt it before kickoff. Like the week leading up to the final, like I normally have a party at my house, right? And I've had the last two parties, I've had like 40 people at my house. And one was the Villarreal final when De Gea missed a penalty. And the other one was last year when we lost to City. And this week, I had two people show up at my house, just two, and the rest were my kids. My son put a ball through the fucking window before kickoff. I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I just had a good feeling. I was like, no one's here. We're going to win it. No one's here. We're going to win it. And it was, honestly, of all the trophies I've seen United lift, and I've been to Wembley, and I've seen us win cups, and I've been there live. I just had a feeling. I had a feeling. Even when Doku scored, I was like, bollocks. Whatever. Like, it was a fucking brilliant day. I'm still buzzing off it. I'm sure you are.
I took my flag to work, put it up in my cubicle.
I saw Mikey with a flag.
Drunk. Drunk as hell. I end up getting pissed, going to the rival pub, fucking up that shit, and then somebody offered me tickets to a match. I said, fucking free drinks, drank there, took the flag to the strip club, put it in the middle of the strip club, planted it there. I had a great time. That was amazing. And I would love to see us win the league and add on that.
I even went to our local bar in our Garnacho shirt, right? And it was an 80s band playing. And I went to the singer and I said, I've lived here 23 years, by the way. I went, I'm on vacation from Manchester. Can I sing Wonderwall with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. So they play Wonderball, and I got out the flag. I was like, fuck off, no.
Go ahead, Bandito.
No one in the bar had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah, I had a couple of homies that ran in the Manchester 10K. It was the day of the Bertie's parade, and said it was twice as many people at the 10K than it was at City's parade.
Here's the interesting stat. So there was 85,000 people for the championship final, right? Like the kick, when they play the knockout game to see who goes up.
Yeah,
there was 84,000 people for the FA Cup. Somebody in the comments wrote, "Well, we know whose fans are to blame for that." It's not our fans. It's not our fucking fans. If you look at that Coventry game and how many people were there.
Southampton beat Leeds.
Come on, man. Come on. So listen, let's change the tide a little bit. There's a little bit of news coming out with Ineos and UEFA. And Ineos, according to the Independent, Ineos reveals UEFA talks to enable Man United and Nice to play in both Europa League next season. Right? So, as you know, our ownership has, we're a multi-club ownership now. Well, kind of, right? And since Nice has made it, it kind of was a breach of UEFA rules for a while. It's happened before. It's two teams have made it before with and Union Saint-Gilloise. So, Manchester City's having that issue with Girona and City Football Group. So, I'm going to start with Bandito because Bandito is one of the insider guys that I like to hear from. Can you break down what's going on with that and if it's going to be an issue for our ownership going forward?
Ineos seems confident that they can resolve this. I know Red Bull has made some they're another multi-club teams that's been in the same competition. And I believe you have to demonstrate that the people making the decisions for one club and the people making the decisions for the other club are not in conflict of interest and that they're independent of each other. Then the ownership is the overall umbrella, right? So you have to demonstrate that Manchester United's brass has nothing to do with Nice. And that's what they need to satisfy UEFA with.
And that's how I feel. I feel like once I read it, because they changed the rules for Brighton and Union. So they're going to do it for City and they're going to do it for us. So that's just where that's at.
I don't think but you could as have well United as any else, the conference.
We're still kind of in limbo about what's going on with the manager. So if you had to talk to Ineos, let's just say we're putting Cheese up. Cheese is our representative. All right, Cheese, you have to tell Ineos, hey, Ten Hag in, Ten Hag out, and why? What would you tell them, and what reasons would you have for him to stay? Because we're still on the fence with Ineos.
Just not being a fan of the instable manager carousel. Like, let's get out of that business. So, put faith in a man. First season Ten Hag, I'd be telling them to bank on first season Ten Hag. Given the injuries of the second season, third season can't be that disastrous. So, like, probability-wise, the man should have a good season. And then last five games of the season, including FA Cup, what we got out of the players hopefully is enough to save that man's job and, like, grant him at least finish his contract. His contract, because he's got one more season left, right? Three-year contract. So yeah, I'd be banking. Yep. I'd be pitching to them to be like, let the man see out his contract. Let's be patient. Let us give him the structure he needs because we like what he did in the first season. Second season was a enigma. Like you know, one off. Like you're not gonna get that season after season with that many injuries. So let's give this man structure for the last season of his contract. Let's see what he does.
I want to ask Sean this. So, Sean, did you get to see Shearer, and I forgot who else was there, their interview with Ten Hag, and they're basically slagging him off, saying, should he be here? Are you going to be here next year? And they're just giving it to him. They're not talking about the win as much, but they're just on him. So what did you think about that? Because that made me kind of sick.
It was extremely disrespectful. And to be fair, like, I'm kind of blaming Ineos for this. Like, come out and say he's gone or he's staying. At the end of the day, Liverpool did it. He's leaving. You know, Brighton did it before the end of the season. He's leaving. Deserve's leaving. Come out and just tell us, is he staying or is he going? And they should have said it before the FA Cup final, whether he was in or whether he was out. Because the shit that he's been getting from every single media outlet is just downright disrespectful in my eyes. Because again, you look at, does Arsenal get it? 2 years in a row when Arteta took over, eighth, Yeah, they got an FA Cup, but we all know that was back on the back of Emery's team. We all know that. But at the end of the day, they stuck with him. But they would come out and they would say, no, he's staying. We want him to stay. We want him to stay. You know, we've got faith in Arteta. Why can't our group do that? They're like, this is so much like when what's his name got fired before the FA Cup, after the FA Cup win before. It's like
LVG.
Grow some goddamn balls. Yeah, grow some balls and say he's out or he's in.
If Arteta doesn't win the league next year, he gets sacked.
He better.
No. I don't think he will.
Because Arsenal's mentality is top four is fine.
Yeah.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I said that to someone else.
Mm-hmm. And I said this to someone today, an Arsenal fan said to me, oh, you can't keep blaming excuses. I'm sorry. Didn't you just blame your entire season loss last year on one defender going down? Did no one remember that? Like, Saliba. Their whole excuse for losing the season was one defender got injured.
Facts.
Saliba.
That's only one defender. And with us, how many injuries do we have? The amount of injuries, very unusual, the way that he had to manage that locker room. But you can see it at this game. He has not lost the locker room, right? These players are playing for him. And you guys have mentioned it time and time before, the fact that they all went to him and said, you raised the cup, because they know who got him there, who they're fighting for. That's just a testament to him also.
United wouldn't have played like that against City if they'd lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's been a lot of ups and downs. Ten Hag's made a lot of mistakes, and I've said it all season long. And we've had a shitload of injuries, and so has a bunch of other teams. Ten Hag's made a lot of mistakes in his second season. But for anyone to say that the players aren't playing for him, they ran through brick walls for him on Saturday against City when everyone predicted we would lose 6 or 7-0. And sometimes myself, I was like, oh, fuck, we might do. Even players that we know that are leaving, Varane, Wan-Bissaka's got no future at the club. He had one of the best games I've ever seen him play. He ran his bollocks off. Like, no, they like him clearly. They love him clearly. And like you said, giving him the trophy, the celebrations after, it was a bright end to a really hard season. And one of the worst I've seen as a United fan. I've been going to Old Trafford since 87 as a four-year-old. One of the worst I've ever seen. But this weekend showed that they are playing for him.
So Casey thinks we don't know time and we can't see the little red box telling us that it's 8 minutes left. ECH, Casey also says he could apparently talk but not be here. He says ETH just because he didn't have the butcher. All right, that he speaks to coaches. So, you know, that's our guy. He talks to coaches. All right, we do have a bit of time to wrap up. Guys, this is the end of the season. We don't have anything to look forward to but Euros in the transfer market. Real quick, I want to just go real quick through you guys, ask transfer targets. Who do you guys think we can use in a minute or so? Who do you guys think we can use to strengthen this team tomorrow? Who do we sign as soon as the transfer window opens? We'll start with Glenn, because, you know, Glenn's the most opinionated one out of all of us. So let's get Glenn in there first.
Another centre forward, I'll go for Benjamin Sesko. Love him. Fucking player. Absolute player, baller, fast, lightning, passionate, good goal scorer. Got to go for a left back. And this might be what's the word I'm thinking of?
Controversial? I don't know.
That's the one.
Hey.
And everyone said this when Liverpool signed Andy Robertson from Hull. Everyone said he was shit. I love Alfie Doughty, fucking Bournemouth left back. He's fucking brilliant. I bring in that left back, Alfie Doughty. And then I'd bring in, what's his name? That dickhead.
What club?
I'm trying to think. Right winger.
Sancho?
Palace?
Oh, from Palace.
Alisse.
But yeah, listen, Alisse. Those three players, and we have all our players fit, we'll be all right. United's not going to buy any more than three players this summer. We're not going to see a fucking massive window when 7 players come in. It's not going to happen. We're going to see some players maybe depart, some players go on loan. But yeah, I'd go with Sesko, Doughty, and Olise.
The only thing I would disagree there is the most important thing that we need is a centre back.
What's wrong with Harry Maguire?
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with Harry Maguire, but we need a backup. Varane's gone, you know. We're about to lose two centre backs.
Kwambala's going to be a player, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he will be it eventually, but I do think we need a solid centre back to go next to. I think Harry Maguire's good. He's had a solid season, and much respect to him after the shit that he's taken. But I don't think he plays next to the Butcher very well.
All right, so Mikey's going to go. So if you're going to centre back, who are you bringing in? Todibo?
Todibo or Lenny Yoro?
Mikey, that Lenny Yoro's a good player, mate.
Yeah, I'm bringing him in. He's 18. He could be a squad player for us. He can get minutes. We still keep Kambwala in the mix. Olise for sure, that number one with a bullet. Need him. And backup striker, man, it's tough. I like Sesko. I like the one guy from Sporting. I forget his. Victor. I always fuck up his last name. Guy Carrez or Gil Carrez. I like him. But he's going to want to play starting minutes, and we already have a starting striker at 70 million. You know, it's going to be tough to ask both of them. But
we don't know if he's a starting striker because the last few games he's been on the bench. We've had Bruno.
He's on starting striker wages, so he can't really waste away on the bench 2-3 games.
What about Osimhen?
Osimhen's just going to be too much money. He's going to want 110 million.
Osimhen, but I don't think we're going to afford him.
Get in the fucking bank. We're Man United. Get in the bank.
Yeah. So, Bandito, who are you thinking?
Sell a lot of players.
I'm going to say a name that people haven't said, and it's Onana as a destroyer.
Amadou.
Everton. To play alongside Kobe Mainoo. In fact, let's just only sign guys named Onana.
let's put our
like
goal.
10 of them.
Yeah, I like Olise because he doesn't need to score. He wants to get other people involved, create for others in the box. So you've got, you know, Bruno going vertically and then horizontally. You've got two creative players. Todibo, a right-footed, right-sided center back, someone who can progress the ball and dribble the ball and then be a bit of a bully. The striker. I don't know.
What about Ivan Toney? Would you take Toney? Any of you?
That's another
too
one.
Too much money.
Yeah, he hasn't been great since he came back.
Why do you keep saying too much money, Mikey?
Because we're not gonna. Ineos is already saying they're not gonna be giving out. We got to sell to get. So whenever they're already kicking out $50 or $60 million. That's before we start selling guys.
But you look at Varane's wages, you look at Martial's wages, Casemiro's wages. That's got to free up at least fucking $40 million.
If $50 million, I think it was over the course of the year, $50 million.
That's fair, but in today's market, that's one, maybe two players. These guys are going to want $100 million. Like what's the name? Is going to what's his name? The gambler. He's going to want $80 million, and he's going to go to Arsenal because Arsenal's willing to pay that. They need the striker. Gabriel Jesus is leaving, and they're going to splash the cash.
So do we. Oh, he's talking about
that, dude. They have the money, though. We don't have the money right now.
Arsenal
we just don't
have the money either.
We don't have it unless we all chip in and we figure it out. Listen, this is the last minute of the show, man. Casey, take notes. This is how you end the show. Right on time. I'd like to thank everybody all season since we started, since I was in my closet. Glenn was giving me shit for that in the beginning. just for watching with us every week. We get a lot of people watch. I get people messaging me from all over. Everybody got about 10 seconds. Just say something that you want to leave us with for this season.
Fuck City.
And Liverpool. And Leeds.
All right, man. Hey, if that's everything, bro.
And have a great summer.
Have a great
summer. Everybody have a great summer, man. Thank you. Thank you for watching. Shout out to everybody in this that's given the chats. I haven't been able to read all of them. Mark's in there. I don't know why, because he could talk right here. But yeah, man. We'll be popping back in and out for Euros, and hopefully England can bring it home. All right. It's those casual Reds. Shout out to Casey. Shout out to Atlanta Reds. Shout out to LA Reds. Shout out to Pittsburgh United. One love.
Big up MFC, to my
man. Keep the faith.
Let's go, boys.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.